It is so fun just watching the multimillionaires finally start to catch up.
It's showtime.
Yes, it most assuredly is. It is the 6th day of December 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you should happen to pop by just right this very instant, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by, well, me. Which means not so capably, because I'm not a longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator. I'm just someone who kind of pops by from time to time as we get through the hours of this program. Hi, I'm Robin, and we begin the first full broadcast week of December, this being the 6th and everything, and tomorrow is a momentous day for me. Tomorrow is one of those milestone days. Tomorrow, the 7th of December, a date which will live in infamy, FDR told an outraged nation in 1941. Well, it turns out December the 7th will also be, for me, 4 weeks post-op. Yesterday was 3 weeks from my release from the hospital. Tomorrow will be 4 weeks from the day that I sashayed through the door at UAB Highlands and came out the other end. Came out the other side. Let's not use end. That creates too many connotations. But came out the other side more functionally and spiritually and physically complete than I've ever been in my life thus far. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. That means that we send out thanks to our subscribers for the 6th, 5th, and 4th day of the month. In particular, what that means is we say thank you very kindly indeed to Janice and John, to Michael and Madison. Thank you to Don in West Tennistan. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you so kindly to Bob. Thank you, Bob. And thank you as well to Roberto and to Kenda in Missouri and to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you, James in Illinois. Thank you, Bernice, Betty Boop. Thank you. And thank you to Thomas and Paul. Thanks so much to David, and thank you as well to Mary. Thank you so kindly, Mary. Thank you to Benjamin. And that gets us back to Friday on the Front Porch. So I hope I didn't miss anybody. If I did, it was unintentional. Let me know, and I will make sure, because you know, sometimes I miss a name on the list, and I hate it when I do. So if I missed one, let me know. Thanks. Thanks so very much for helping keep this program on the air. It is Moran Monday on the Horn, and oh God, look at that. We got Morans. And we'll get to them in, we will get to them in due course. Fundraising wise, where are we now? We are at $1,100. We're $1,100 away from being, we're $800 away from being finished up with, no, I'm sorry, $900 away from being finished up with last week, and about $200 from being finished up with today. Subject line, Riot Act. Joey writes, "It was the first weekend in December 3 years ago." I remember it well because the photo showed up in my memories and I just loved it when I saw it. But a few of us met at the Molloy Fest, the Molloy Palooza, the Molloy Mountain Getaway, and near lovely Helen, Georgia, and all had a wonderful time. Steve from Georgia Stan was present, along with Billable, Rick, and my wife and I and Tara Devlin and about 30 others, including the artist formerly known as Bob, along with Agnes, now known as Annette. Bob cooked up some delicious brisket, and we all ate and drank well for the weekend. Billable kept it lit as he nearly started a fire lighting up some cannabis in the bathroom. Recently, I just took a look at some of those pictures from that weekend. I'd love to have some more of them if you'd care to share, Joey. And something really stood out to me upon seeing Robin in those pictures when she was Bob. He never once smiled in any of those pictures and even looked very unhappy and uncomfortable. Contrast that with all the pictures that I see of Robin recently after transitioning. And she's smiling with glee in every one of those photos, and it's wonderful to see. So again, congratulations, Robin. You appear to be very happy, and the smile on your face looks wonderful. Thank you, Joey. It's real. It's genuine. It is very much... I know I didn't smile a lot. There wasn't a lot. My spirit didn't feel a lot to smile about. In other news, Joey notes, First Energy Corporation has a new CEO by the name of Steve Straw, replacing the previous CEO, Chuck Jones, who was fired for his involvement in the alleged scandal which paid Ohio State Republican House Speaker Larry Householder $61 million in bribes to assist in passing legislation HB 6, which would have bailed out First Energy and other utilitarians to the tune of $1.3 billion. I worked at First Energy at that time, and I knew Chuck Jones, as he would often frequent the facility in West Akron when he was not helping in the bribing of officials from his downtown office in Akron, allegedly. I will share my Chuck Jones story with you later, and it's a doozy. However, for now, speaking of straw men, I see what he did there. I was just curious to know if they've arrested and charged Kyle Rittenhouse's mother yet for aiding and abetting her son, a minor, by driving him across state lines so that he might engage in some potentially dangerous activity. That's a no. Hell, it only makes sense that a logical parent would drive their teenage son to a protest with an assault rifle. I'm not sure if it's clear whether her son had the assault rifle in his possession while she drove him to Kenosha, or whether the straw man gave him the gun once he arrived in town. Nevertheless, I would suggest that no reasonable adult would even encourage their child to attend a protest, let alone drive them to one. Well, to be fair, I offer editorially, when they were younger, our children attended protests. They attended protests with us in regard to mountaintop removal because we figured it was their future that we were trying to save, and so better for them to learn the nature of the fight. And, of course, at that point in time, the coal thugs were no kinder to children than they were to adults. I'll never forget when the Massey coal wife, with a handful of Walmart jewelry, took her two hands and surreptitiously punched Annette in the kidneys, causing her to piss blood for a couple of days. But, you know, you're just going to have that when you're dealing with coal thugs. Anyway, Joey says, I mention this considering the fact that the parents of the shooter in Michigan, the Moran Monday Crumblies, were arrested and charged last week, as they should have been after reading the letter that his dumb shit mother had sent to Trump several months ago. Oh, we've gone a long way without Jeffrey. I was beginning to worry about him. Now, wait a minute, Joey. You cannot hold Kyle's mother responsible because she was taking her son to help hurting... people that might be injured after the protest. Kyle's mother realized that her son aspires to be a medic, and she imagined him maybe setting up a triage unit for the injured and assisting wounded people. For instance, Kyle gave that one man a really good... Oh, I'm going to regret this. Yes, Rittenhouse gave that one man a real good shot in the arm. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Even while that crazy protester was chasing him and calling him names. Oh, dear God. Says Joey. I can see that Ivy League education is really not helping much, Jeffrey. Rittenhouse nearly blew the man's arm off after the man was trying to disarm the child of his assault rifle. Nearly 100 people in this country are killed every day, and 90% of this country wants some form of gun control. Well, does that mean that 10% of the country is controlling the 90%? Where do we live? South Africa? Jeffrey. When this trial began, we all believed that Kyle Rittenhouse was going to be convicted of murder. Some of us didn't. In some form, and he was going to prison for a long time. Yes, we all thought that Rittenhouse was headed for the big house. Yes, we all thought that the big house had Kyle's name written all over. Gunnar. Oh, that's terrible. That's just awful. Junior with a shot.
Yes, we all hoped and believed justice would be done in this case, but thanks to a lot of dark money pouring in to support Kyle Rittenhouse's legal bills, it'll be okay to continue to kill dark people in broad daylight and shoot all of those white folks who support minorities.
Well, at least Junior is proving himself thoughtful. Now Rittenhouse wants to write a book and attend Arizona State University. I hope he writes a book and makes millions in advance fees so when he's sued in civil court, the proceeds can go to the families who lost loved ones. I'm not sure if he'll make millions writing a book because even though he'll receive an advance fee, most Republicans are too stupid to know how to read, so they won't be buying his book. I hope he attends Arizona State because those students won't be reading his book, but they will be reading him the Riot Act. Yes, this act test will have nothing to do with scholastic ability. So this has been Joey's Journal for More in Monday, the 6th day of December, with Giraffery planning a couple of speaking engagements in Arizona, one at Arizona State and another at Kirsten Sinema's estate. And so consequently there is a $25 Rittenhouse Riot Act challenge on the table. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffery. Thank you, Junior.
Happy to help.
I love it when we get to hear from Junior. That'll help take us down below the $1,100 mark and maybe slowly but surely knock out some of the remainder for this past November as we move through this holiday month. Thank you one and all in advance who jump in on that. It was a nice weekend. We had to go out yesterday, Annette and I did, and I'm slowly but surely testing the waters to see how well and how far I can drive. And yesterday we went over the mountain. They call it Red Mountain. It's still Appalachia. Over to Homewood to Target, and the Target is in the Homewood Mountain Brook area of Birmingham, and it's at a place that it used to be the most lovely bougie mall in the entire state of Alabama. It's huge. It was called Brookwood Village. And so we went to Target and we got a tiny little Christmas tree for our apartment here. Fake, of course, but it's you know, like one notch up from the Charlie Brown Christmas tree, and it's got some artificial snow frosting on the artificial pine boughs. And we saw it, and at the same time, we both reached for it and said, let's get this. So we have a little tiny Christmas tree here in our little apartment, and it makes the place warm and festive, and just made my heart feel good. And we got some necessities, you know, Annette was running out of coffee pods, and so was I. Got some, like, you know, scouring cleanser, stuff like that. And it necessitated walking through Target. And so I got a lot of nice walking in, and every time I walk, I get a little bit stronger. Takes a little bit out of me, but I get a little bit stronger, with the goal being of being home in the home studio before New Year's. Now, a week from this Wednesday, I have my at least last scheduled appointment with my follow-up appointment with my surgeon to see how my healing is coming along. I think it's coming along well. The sutures are healing, and eventually they'll dissolve and just be gone, and everything will be grown And the little gang of satanic gnomes that are down there with their little voltmeters, seeing which nerves are connected, continue to do so. But I took Scary Jerry's advice. Turned out, next to the place that I go for pizza when I'm having a pizza yearning. Took a pizza to my new friend last week. I think I mentioned that, and she enjoyed it immensely. There was a CBD store next door. And rather than use some pharmaceutical nightmare for nerve pain, I'm gonna take Scary Jerry's advice early on, and at least give the Delta 8 CBD a chance. So I'll report back as to whether or not that's providing any relief. They actually had Delta 8 and Delta 9 CBD gummies, so got some of each. And the Delta 9 has somewhat of a psychoactive component to it, so I did not use that in contemplation of the fact that I wanted to be on air this evening. The weird part, though, was after we were done with Target. I'd never seen this retail outlet before. It's called Direct Shoe Warehouse. I saw it, and Annette saw it at the same time. I was like, shoes? So we went and we walked around in there. And, of course, there was not a single piece of footwear in there in my size. I didn't expect there to be, because shoes that fit me that are pretty at the same time are practically a unicorn hunt. It's a holy grail of mine. And after that, we drove along down down what was Brookwood Village, and eventually down to the end where Macy's and prior to that, I forget if it was a Pizzitz or a Parisian or what the department store was back in the day, but it was one of the anchor stores to the mall. And we went in, looked around a little bit, the thought being that we would go through Macy's and out into the mall and go down and find somewhere to get a bite of lunch. Simple enough. Because my blood sugar was running a little bit low, and I could feel it coming on, and didn't want to crash. And we got to the mall entrance part of Macy's, and the doors were shut and locked. And we looked through the windows out into what had once been this bustling, lovely mall, and it was just so damn sad. It was a ghost mall. There were no stores. Just empty storefronts as far as the eye could see. And Macy's wasn't very well stocked, and it seemed like there was next to no one working there. And there was some canned Christmas music playing. And it sort of brought home to me the degree to which Christmas in the United States is largely, and as far back as, and I think it premiered either slightly before or slightly after I was born, Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown, in which Charlie Brown goes through the entire animated feature bemoaning the commercialization of Christmas. And it's true. So many images and so much advertising still is centered on the idea of buying stuff in the in the Christmas season. So it bummed us both out a little bit, and then we got in the car and I said, I know where we can go for breakfast or lunch. We can go to Big Bad Breakfast, because I'd been to the place before in the location up in Florence. And so, like a dummy, I asked SIRI, can't say her name out loud or she'll respond, for directions to that place, Big Bad Breakfast. I didn't know that there were two in Birmingham, or the Birmingham area. And she put us on the road way the hell and gone out toward Vestavia Hills and Hoover, which is, it gets very, very bougie out there. And, like 10 lanes of traffic on the expressway, that kind of stuff. Annette did not like that at all. And It's like, son of a gun. So we got there, walked up, and they're like, well, are you already on the list? And it was Sunday. I should have thought. I didn't. And no, I said, well, it's about a 20 to 30 minute wait. And I was like, oh, no, it doesn't seem like it. Daggum it. And so we got in the car, and I thought, and I said, well, wait, I saw another place, Ruby Sunshine. I guess it's a little chain. And I said, we'll go get something for brunch there. And it was about, you know, half a mile up the road, saw it, big sign, pulled in. And on the other side of it was a sign that said, coming soon, Ruby Sunshine. I was like, fuck. And then over across the way, and Annette said, there, go there, we're eating there, was a place that was called Zoe's Kitchen. I can only tell you that Zoe doesn't need to be in a kitchen. Zoe doesn't do kitchen very well at all. It was a Mediterranean place, and I love Greek and Middle Eastern Mediterranean food, but not this. Oh, this, and it was so depressing. The only thing to recommend it was the fact that for the first time, and I've never seen this before, they had Fresca on tap in the self-serve pop dispenser. Never saw that before. The rest of it was abysmal. And so we left there and was like, I'm so depressed. That just sucked. And it did. The little lamb kofta kebab were dry and skanky. And they served, I thought it was, you know, riced cauliflower. I get that. That's that gluten-free alternative. I like cauliflower. It was ice cold. It was ice cold with a little bit of, little dollop of the ground-up mint salsa and a little serving of feta and some tzatziki. And it was terrible. Just terrible. Chairs were really, really hard. So by the time we were done, I was like, let's get out of here. Because by that point I was hurting. And so we got back into traffic and got all the way back here to the apartment. And it was a nice day. It was a nice day out. It was a pretty day. But the visceral, I looked out into that mall wasteland, that ghost mall, and I thought, thanks, Jeff Bezos. Thanks. All because you wanted a vanity rocket ride into space and you've killed retail in America. I mean, it wasn't just Jeff Bezos, but he had a lot to do with it with Amazon. And then today the heavens opened up and it rained and rained and rained. It's still raining. The wind's blowing a little bit. Temperatures dropped. This is probably the least pretty day since we have been here. And we've been here over a month now. Today being the 6th, we left home on November the 1st, and it feels like we've been gone a year. But I had a nice little meeting talking about trans health care today, and it was just very pleasant. Wandered by the Wiggling Pig, and that's the bougiest Piggly Wiggly I've ever been in, and I mean, all is bougie. I'm still blown away by the 12 beer taps where you can just fill up a growler while you shop, but in Alabama, really? I mean, I would expect that in a civilized state, but Alabama? But sure enough, there it was. And I stopped and looked longingly at the oxtails, thinking, oh, there's going to be, if it's going to start getting cold, there's going to be a pot of soup, oxtail soup. And I think the oxtails are winning. I didn't do it. I didn't get the oxtails, but I'm gonna at some point. I know I'm going to break down because for some reason or other, can't get them up at home. And oxtail soup is just so damn good. But that kind of gets caught up with what I've been up to lately. But it being Moran Monday, and God, it is Moran Monday. By the way, virtual cowbells, Billable Rick says, for Joey for utilitarian and shot in the arm. Billable remembers, at the Malloy, North Georgia Mountain Retreat 3 years ago, I would add that I kept it lit in the women's restroom with none other than the godfather of liberal talk radio and Tara, with Kathy Malloy filming the proceedings. Let's keep that video away from Joey Girafarian Jr. Yes, let's. I think that's wise. Yeah. By the way, and this will be a huge help. I just got this note from Randy Radar. A Christmas present to the Horn. All incoming Horn contributions up to $500 for this evening's show. Okay? Up to $500 for this evening's show. Randy Radar says he will match 2 for 1. That would get us fully caught up with November and right where we need to be. So thank you, Randy Radar. Thank you so much. And that blows me away. Thank you. So everybody, if we can raise $500 tonight, amazing things. I don't know where that noise came from. Amazing things will happen courtesy of Randy Radar as a Christmas as a Christmas present to the Horn. Thank you. Thank you so much. Ralphs saw what I posted over on Facebook and said, your bacon tomato sandwich looked yummy this morning. And as my strength returns, I'm feeling a little bit more, more able to, you know, just do things. And I haven't cooked anything in over 2 months. So I got out the, Publix sourdough bread today. I had a nice ripe tomato. And last week we bought a bag of avocados. And you know, when you buy a bag of avocados, it's like buying a little bag of hand grenades. They're every bit as hard and every bit as green. And so I told Annette that I've been checking at least 2 or 3 times a day to make sure that I know exactly when to throw all the avocados away, because that's what always happens. As sure as God made little green avocados, you know, you test them. No, hard as a rock, hard as a rock, hard as a rock, hard as a rock. And then one day they get a mush in your hand. You go, okay, no, it's time to throw it away now. But I managed to catch one that was nice and ripe. Peeled it, pitted it, sliced it, sliced the tomato, Kaneka bacon. You know how much I love Kaneka sausage. Well, they sell bacon down here. Yes, Kaneka bacon. And so I did up some Kaneka bacon in the microwave and toasted the sourdough, mashed the avocado on one side, melted some hot pepper cheese on the other, and added the mayo. Yes, there's mayo. Of course there's mayo. No raisins, but there's mayo. Lettuce wasn't a possibility. And put a picture of it up on Facebook just because it was nice to actually fix something by hand for a change. And Ralph's, I can tell you, it was freaking delicious. I inhaled that thing. It was so good. And so when I was at the Wiggling Pig earlier today, I checked to see if they've got, and they are out of Kaneka bacon. And I was deeply, deeply upset. But thanks for that. I'm glad you found the photo as taste tempting as it actually was. So like I said, I'm feeling more like pottering around in the kitchen a little bit more. And David pointed out, what's the difference between puttering and pottering? Puttering is what golfers do. Pottering is what non-golfers do. And there's and thank you very kindly to our pal Christopher. Here's a start. The rest will come, and so it is. So we are down to 475 to go on Randy Radar's Christmas cheer challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Christopher. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Randy Radar challenge accepted. And so that takes us down to 455 to go. And thank you to Ralphs. We're down to 430. So we're making a game attempt at it. And thank you so kindly for getting us started. On the other hand, Steve in New York, not feeling particularly thrilled, says, here's a $12 challenge for the dozen eggs that Iowa laid on Saturday. Billable? I mean, I'm not putting this on you or anything. There's no obligation or anything like that. But I felt so bad for everybody that was rooting for Iowa. They walked into a buzzsaw. They had no idea what hit them. And then Michigan hit them again and kept hitting them and hitting them and hitting them. And it was, of course, my evening was made by the Crimson Tide, who, underdogs, having been told that they had no business whatsoever on the same football field with the mighty Bulldogs of the University of Georgia, proceeded to lay a beat down on Georgia that they will not soon forget. Alabama hung as many points on that vaunted Georgia defense as that defense gave up in 7 games. Or almost. So, I mean, it was like a masterclass. It was amazing. And so, Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, and Cincinnati. So at least we don't, I don't see it. They're not going to make Alabama play a rematch against Georgia in the semifinals, are they? But it was some damn good ball. And Michigan seems to be on a roll. I don't think they're going to just go somewhere and I don't think they're going to get humiliated. And so that means next Saturday should be quite interesting as well. Thank you, Colin. We are down to 380. 380 to go on Randy Radar's challenge. Thank you, Colin. Thank you so very much. What's this, Darlene in Connecticut? Hollywood Life. Donald Trump trolled over viral family holiday card for leaving off Barron and more. Oh, no. Did he? Oh, please. That's where, you know.
Well, you know, Melanie has a son.
It's kind of a visual because it has to do with a photo. But, oh, wow, he doesn't. Funny how Barron doesn't look like, well, he looks like melanoma. There at Hollywood Life, they note that a potentially fake image of Donald Trump's 2021 Christmas card is making its rounds on social media, and people can't believe what they're looking at. The photo, which has gone viral on Twitter, shows Trump, 75, front and center, while the rest of his family members are featured within ornaments on the top right of the image. However, his son Barron Trump, 15, isn't present in the holiday card whatsoever. Hollywood Life reached out to Trump's rep to confirm if this image, which can be seen below, has people very confused, is indeed real. Victoria Brownworth, whom I follow on Twitter, said, where to begin with this monstrosity? Trump is not president. Mar-a-Lago was never the White House. Trump has Ivanka before Melania in the ornament lineup. Where's Barron? Look at the white front of Trump's tux. Why does Santa and reindeer look like ejaculate? Oh, no. The vest of Nitwit Nero's tux, over which he has a waistcoat, looks like a dick. And Santa's sleigh and reindeer look like spooge. Oh, dear. Can't be real. I know, Darlene, we both want it desperately. We both desperately want it to be real, but no, they can't. It just can't. It can't be real. But it would be hilarious. And then there's another photo that actually shows melanoma and Tafania and Nitwit Nero looking at melanoma and then young Barron staring with that 30-mile stare out into the distance, looking nothing so much as like a young Soviet-era recruit. His lovely holiday season. Mm-hmm. That can't be real. It just can't be real. And let's see here. Snopes. Snopes says nopes. The winter White House Christmas card is not real. But dang. It was too good to be real.
Yeah, I know.
So hilarious, but not, unfortunately, real. But the problem is, it's absolutely believable. Billable Rick responding to Stephen New York says, the Iowa offense was so bad on Saturday night, and Stephen New York was so anti-Michigan, that even Brother Deacon Asa started to root for that team up north. Subject line, Iowa's rotten eggs. Yeah. Herky the Hawk, Christopher in Oregon, writes, after watching the Big Ten championship, I can only assume Rick recently attended a show or rally of some sort put on by Hawkeye mascot Herky the Hawk. Because, well, they plunged from at least 1,000 feet and corkscrewed into the earth. Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you so much. That Bernadette's gotten us down to $360 on Randy Radar's Merry Christmas Challenge. Thank you, Randy, and thank you, Bernadette. 360 to go. That's profound and ever so helpful. Now, as far as morons go on this here Moron Monday, we have not had cause to take note of Jim Jacket Off Jordan, you know, because everywhere he goes, he shows up without his sport coat or his suit jacket. He is therefore Jim Jacket Off Jordan. And over the weekend, he made an appearance on some blather show. What was it? Let's see. Newsmuck, where he was interviewed by none other than Nazi sympathizer and son of Nazi sympathizer, Seb Gorka. Mm-hmm. You know, if you take your antacid before you eat, you can avoid getting Gorka all over the place. That's always been the advice that I've followed. But Jim Shorts Jordan understands the real problem facing America. It's not the Omicron variant. Oh, fuck no. And it's certainly not hunger, food insecurity. It is not the racism that stalks the land. It's not the fires of anti-LGBTQ hate that are being stoked. No, none of those things. No. Jim Jacket Off Jordan knows that the real problem facing Merca is, well, you and me.
Someone said this. Every third generation in this country has had to do something big. I mean, you think about the founders and what they did when they declared why we were going to be an independent country and what they had to overcome the greatest military in the world. They did it. Three generations later, Lincoln and the Americans then held the country together, got rid of the evil of slavery.
Anybody want to define a generation for me? Because if I recall the Gettysburg Address, which was given in, I think, 1863, Lincoln said 67 years ago. That's 87 years. Which is almost 90 years, and 90 by 3 is 30 years. I know, I'm working on my ciphering here. Is a generation 30 years? I mean, I'm just trying to sort it. Or is it 20 or? And I'm trying to figure out how the framers or the founders of the country, what were they the third generation of? Because that's 1776, and Jim Shorts Jordan seems to think that 87 years, well, that's 1700, and there'd been white colonialists in this country since the early 1600s. I don't think Jim Shorts Jordan does math any better than I do. But nonetheless, let's let Jim Jacket Off Jordan finish what passes for a thought in his tiny mustard seed sized brains, shall we?
History. Someone said this: every third generation in this country has had to do something big. I mean, you think about the founders and what they did when they declared why we were going to be an independent country and what they had to overcome the greatest military in the world. They did it. Three generations later, Lincoln and the Americans then held the country together, got rid of the evil of slavery. Three generations later, America defeated Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany, the evils that those two institutions represented, those countries represented. And we won the greatest generation won that war.
You know, the pride of the Draw Spunky School of Law there that Jim Jacket Off Jordan attended must not have any kind of math required. So, wait, there's three generations between 1865 and so that's 35 years and 45 and 35, and that's 80 years. So 87, 80, is that three generations? Because I'm trying to think, my great-grandfather was born in 1860. Grandmother was born in 1894. Mother was born in 1925. Sister was born in 1946. Him math not real good. Him not math good at all. But anyway, so we're up to 1945 and defeating Imperial Japan. Funny how Jim Jacket Off Jordan only what?
And now here we are, three generations later, and the assault is from the radical left. We have to step forward and do our part, like previous generations of Americans have done. I think we're up to the task. And again,
wait, what? So, he's got, they want
Thanks.
To, I'm having a little bit of a problem following the logic here, as you might well imagine. People who want other people to be able to go to the doctor whenever they're sick, people who want people not to starve to death, apparently, we are the same thing as Nazis and traitorous or Japanese imperialists and traitorous slave owners and the British government. Anybody want help with this? Roger in Oregon noting a generation is all of the people born and living at about the same time regarded collectively. It can also be described as the average period generally consisted to be about 20 to 30 years during which children are born and grow up to become adults and begin to have children. That according to the Google machine. All right. So maybe it kind of works that way. But so you and me and the Horn Family Community Congregation, we're Imperial British slave owning Japanese fascists. Oh, well, that's just Jim Jacket Off Jordan for you. displaying his brilliance over on Newsmuck. Yeah, what a guy. Generational math. Lee in New York says, give yourself one virtual cowbell for being better at math than a house member who wears zero jackets. That's why he's Jim Jacket Off Jordan. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, one definition is average age at first birth, approximately 25 years, depending. On the other hand, Steve in New York says, sounds like three generations in David Barton speak. Ooh, the wall builder. Right. As to presidential Christmas cards, this one's real and nearly as creepy, Stephen New York says. It's a picture of the Trump La Familia Trump or the Trump clan, and I can't tell if some of them are photoshopped in or, but you know, there's Tiffania out on the wing. And yeah, this one's got to be a few years old because Eric the Dumber has a kind of I don't know, Biff from Back to the Future look about him. I don't know where Mrs. Trader Tot is. Maybe does that mean this is post divorce, or was that her standing next to? I don't. It all gets so confusing. Who are those people? Ugh. As to the fakeness of the other one, Lee in New York says, the giveaway was including Tiffany. Why would the former guy include a second daughter? He has to be reminded he even has a second daughter. Well, there's a virtual cowbell for that. Let's see here. Where to go next with all of these... all of these morons. Well, from the Department of Like Breeds Like in Miami, police have arrested a 15-year-old kid. He was accused of making social media threats against Miami Senior High School. Law enforcement actually picked up on it and arrested him before he could shoot that school up, as opposed to little creepy Crumbly, who shot up Oxford High School in Michigan, you know, with the gun that little creepy Crumbly's mother and father Crumbly purchased for him. They're charging him with a felony count of written threats to kill or do bodily harm. That, according to Daisy Gonzalez Diego, the chief communications and community engagement officer for Miami-Dade County Public Schools. And there seems to be a bit of an outbreak of threats made against schools. I don't know why these things proliferate after one of these slaughters, but God, they do. They do. And there's another story. And it's just, I read it and I felt like a kick in the gut. It's too many of these stories. I had a note from our dear friend Cynthia in the Bay Area that mentioned that another trans woman had been killed, this one in Oakland. Shots were heard to be fired, and shortly thereafter, the police showed up and found the bleeding, shot body of a trans woman. Well, they didn't identify, and no leads, no evidence to suggest that they're going to find who killed this poor woman. And so, add her to the list for next year's Trans Day of Remembrance. And the question is whether or not, how do you decide who goes on the list? What constitutes murder? From where I sit, up in Tenistan, where I home, I would say down in Tenistan, but up in Tenistan, a pair of parents have learned a level of grief that no parent should ever have to go through. This is the story of 12-year-old Eli Fritchley, a seventh grader. Eli had a SpongeBob sweatshirt, and Eli loved to wear that SpongeBob sweatshirt virtually every day. Somehow it made them feel a little better. His mama, Debbie, speaking to WKRN-TV, said, "I think probably because he was in the same clothes every single day that they used that as a weapon. He was told because he didn't necessarily have a religion and that he said he was gay, that he was going to go to hell. They told him that quite often." His father, Steve, said the bullying was really abusive. "I don't think it was ever physical. I think it was just words, but words hurt. They really, really hurt." And so little 12-year-old Eli killed himself. And in the story that I'm looking at from WKRN, there are multiple photos of little Eli. And in one of them, Eli is wearing their SpongeBob shirt with a little butterfly perched on their finger. And we know what a symbol a butterfly is to members of the trans community. There's another photo of little Eli holding up their little painted fingernails, painted cherry red. And another photo that looks like maybe they've got a little bit of lipstick on, like a 12-year-old little girl might. Nothing in here about little Eli being trans, but there's a lot there to suggest maybe, yeah. But little Eli said, "I'm gay." And the little heathens at Eli's school tormented him day in and day out. And it takes exactly no imagination at all to realize the things that were probably said to Eli. And so at the tender age of 12 years old, little Eli figured out how to commit suicide. Like I said, I saw this story earlier today. Tears welled up in my eyes, and I felt like I'd been kicked in the gut. Nobody could get to Eli to tell him that it really does get better. Sometimes you have to wait 50 years. But it gets better. Timo in the chat room saying, "If hell is real, bullies are going in first." Oh, and I think about all the good little Christian children who told him that he was going to hell for not being like them. And I wonder how many of those good little Christian children will wind up being far more gay, if that's even a term, every bit as gay as Eli said he was. Soulful eyes, a pacific face, And as Stephen New York says, I guarantee you, it wasn't just the kids who told him he was going to hell. No, of course not. No. It wasn't just the kids, because the kids live in homes and the kids are taught in the homes, and you have to be, hate is something you have to be taught very carefully to do. And the teaching took. And I wonder how many parents with the news of this horrible, horrible, heartbreaking incident. I wonder how many parents said, well, you know, thank God we're Christians, and thank God we have our children in church. Church had nothing to do. Well, no, church had something to do with it. Oh, absolutely. Church had a lot to do with it. And so, unable to ever embrace or kiss or hug or even tell little Eli that they love him ever again, the parents are seeking to found a suicide prevention and anti-bullying organization. Their GoFundMe has raised some $12,000. It needs it's simple enough to say that it needs to stop. But that's the question. How do you stop it? How do you stop other children and their parents from making a child want to die for the crime of being different? It would seem to be by calling them, the parents and the children, out. You think that's going to happen? You think that's going to happen in a place like Tenistan? Do you think anybody's going to point to the kids and say, you did it, you did it, you did it, you did it. You carry that knowledge with you for the rest of your natural born days. And if you live to be 100 years old, your last thought should be for the child you pushed towards suicide. You did it, Christian mommy. You did it, Christian daddy. Because frankly, and I don't know what the makeup of the school was, but if there were little Jewish kids, the little Jewish kids weren't running around saying, hey, Levi, you're going to hell. The little Hindu kids weren't running around saying, hey, Eli, you're going to hell. It's not, no. Little Muslim kids weren't running around saying, hey, Eli, you're going to hell. It was the precious little Christian children. The little monsters. So I don't know. Would you include... would you include little Eli next year would you include little Eli's name on the Trans Day of Remembrance? They didn't get to live long enough to recognize or come to terms with issues of gender. The little Christian children just tormented him to death before that day could ever come. But on the other hand, of course, babies do matter. We know that from the all-too-Christian anti-abortion right-to-life movement. And the man who looks like hot dog smell, Steve Bannon, on his podcast, was talking to some creep named Ben Harnwell, who said that there's a fertility crisis in France because of militant secularization. This fetish with forced birth is not only located in the United States. There's a right-wing proto-fascist, outright fascist movement of it in Europe as well. White fascist Europeans being absolutely convinced that they're going to be replaced by a wave of wildly procreating brown people. Mm-hmm. It kind of the way the right wing in America came up with the notion of anchor babies for the children of people who come from south of the Rio Grande. They're a disgusting gang of Nazis. They really, really are.
Real quickly, you got one other thing on the cultural context about how the convergence of this movement. What is that?
Well, this is an interesting article that
It's terribly interesting.
Britain's Guardian newspaper, which for our American audience is basically the UK's equivalent of the New York Times. So that's to say, it's not a right-wing organ by any stretch of the imagination. And it printed an article on the cultural origins of the demographic transition in France. This is an academic paper by a student who won an award, actually, studying at Brown University. And he's basically saying, why did France suffer 100 years before the rest of Europe? And he draws a direct correlation between the fertility crisis and secularization of France, militant secularization of France.
Militant secularization, yes, of course. Ugh. Oh, ho, oh, oh. You know, anytime you talk about France, I'm sorry, France, anything, you have to talk about the whole history. And you know, the going as far back as the 14th century, the plague plays into it. And the starvation of the French people as a result of supporting a sickening, bloated monarchy that winds up in the terror of, what, 1793? But that's way too much depth for a Ben Harnwell with his strange little soul patch under his quivering lower lip. And what the fuck is militant secularization in the first place? Really, there were street gangs of French people stopping people from going to mass. I somehow don't think that's true.
And he goes parish by parish and identifies how, where priests in pre-revolutionary France remained faithful to the Catholic Church, fertility was higher there. Instead, when priests started accommodating with the revolutionaries, fertility drops. As an explicit sign, if we're taking notes here, we should be extremely aware of this, an explicit sign that when you militantly secularize your people, you will have a consequent effect on its fertility rate. Yes. Now, you said, Steve, on Friday, you made a point that the fight for the Judeo-Christian West is going to hinge around fertility. Worth bearing in mind that in the European Union, not a single one of the 26...
Yeah, hold on. This is another one of those moments. Whenever I hear a little right-wing Nazi like Steve Bannon say, or one of his weird little minions, start talking about the Judeo-Christian West. I always wish that there was some sort of magic Jewish person who could just poof, pop into the scene and say, what's that Judeo part you're talking about, bub? But see, they need to hyphenate with Judeo-Christian so that it doesn't seem like it's just a bunch of right-wing Christian fanatics having a conniption, or as it's often known in other areas, a crusade. This is the same impulse that sent French warlords and kniggets across the Mediterranean to attack Muslim people 1,000 years ago. We have to stop the de-Christianization of the West. But because a fuckwit like this doesn't know history, he doesn't understand that the secularization of a place like France begins with just the filthy excesses of Holy Mother Church. And the era of the Avignon papacy, and having two popes, one in Rome and one in Avignon, and both churches being entirely holy and totally corrupt. I mean, that's why you wind up, you know, one of the patron, the two patron saints of Italy are Francis and Catherine of Siena. And as a woman, you wouldn't expect that Catherine of Siena would have gotten the time of day, but she raised so much hell over the corruption of the church that the church almost had to pay attention to her. Yeah. And so, you know, people lost faith. If you, you know, the Canterbury Tales, of course, written in English, Middle English, but English, are replete with stories of corrupt clergy and rapey priests and people selling indulgences, and you know the various levels of ecclesiastical skullduggery. People began walking away from the church, and after revolutionary in revolutionary France, because they were fed the fuck up. I mean. What was it, Diderot? Lo and behold, they managed to quote Diderot in the Hulu series The Great, about Catherine the Great of Russia. And that would be around the 1750s. And the quote being, humanity will only be free when the last monarch is strangled with the entrails of the last priest. So it's not like it was a new sentiment. It was a it was a simmering pot that rose to a boil when it became abundantly clear that the monarchy and the nobility were perfectly willing to let people starve to fucking death while they rode out to fox hunts and the like. All of which is entirely too much for the likes of this clown Harnwell and the man who looks like hot dog smell.
The state has a fertility rate at replacement level. The best that we have, I think, which is Hungary, where there is a broad parity between new births and the deaths.
Because Hungary has become a fetish object for the right wing in this country. Because Viktor Orban, their president, who was swept into office on a wave of pro-democracy sentiment, immediately set about the business. Funny, I think we've seen the script play out before. Immediately set about the business of turning Hungary into a vicious right-wing fascist state. And it is, if it is not already, it is rapidly approaching pariah status. On the other hand, however, that pariah status is like a flame to a moth, as American right-wingers go over there and have conservatism conferences because, you know, Hungary is a safe space for them because, well, they can feel all special and white because Hungary, under Viktor Orban, has no use for people dark with skin darker than a grocery store paper bag.
But Europe has an absolute demographic crisis facing it.
Also, Macron and Merkel don't have kids, right? It's the leadership. Hey, if you want to save Western, the Judeo-Christian West, if you want to save civilization, start by having babies.
Yeah, okay. I guess it's, I don't know. I guess it's a selling point, fucking for freedom. Or fucking to save whiteness. But Lord God, does the world really need more people like, well, the man who looks like hot dog smell? I'm thinking that's not going to save the planet. Mm-mm, no. Not as far as I can tell. And by the way, going all the way back to Jim Jacketoff Jordan, Ron and Raleigh says, pay no attention to the idiot without a jacket. He doesn't know shit from Shinola. America won the Second World War. 20 million Soviets might beg to differ. There's that. Nah, everybody was just pottering around. There's that phrase again. Until Merca decided to enter the war and set things right. Yeah. Matt in San Francisco, subject line accent. Speaking bullshit with an accent makes the rubes think it's well researched. Keep calm and carry on. Ho, ho, ho. Absolute truth, because the Guardianite article, I guess Steve in New York looked it up. This Barnwell guy completely misstates the findings of the paper from the article. The author shows that areas where priests stayed loyally Catholic during the French Revolution, i.e. where secularization had made less progress, had much smaller falls in fertility. Religious, rather than economic change, drove the demographic transition, but it had big economic consequences. Falling fertility is a prerequisite for rising living standards, or progress gets eaten up by population growth. That's why French gross domestic product per capita kept pace with England, despite the Industrial Revolution taking place on this side of the channel, the English side. For the French, the story was less church, fewer kids, higher incomes. Ta-da! Which again takes us back to the plague, when a scarcity of peasants made the peasants, and the same thing was repeated all over Europe, suddenly the peasants were able to say, nah, you know, we don't, except Russia, of course, where, and we never talk about this. The United States is, of course, a horrifying example of chattel slavery, but so too was Russia. Serfs were deemed to be the property of the nobility and ultimately the Tsar. They were owned creatures. But in the years after the plague in places like France, Italy, the peasant class was able to rise up, learn trades, learn skills, put those skills on the market, and fuel what? Yes, the Renaissance. So the question for Steve Bannon and this guy with the bullshit posh accent is, why do you hate prosperity? Why do you hate technological advancement? Why do you hate civilization, dumbass? But then again, one look at Steve Bannon and you can understand why. Because you just know that he's sitting there thinking, yeah, if only I was a baron or a duke or an earl or a viscount or something, I could fuck anybody I wanted to, and couldn't nobody do anything about me knocking anybody up. Yuck. I know. Disgusting. But it is what it is. No, it was militant. Ralph said, did he say the militant sexualization of frogs? No. The militant secularization of France. Ralph serving as the horn ad hoc Emily Latella for this evening. Never mind. Thanks, Ralph. I needed that. Back to young Eli. Steve says, I will guarantee teachers were big cheerleaders for the bullying. There's no other conclusion because had the teachers been supportive, they could have mitigated it. Where was the administration? And probably these grieving parents won't ask those hard questions because it's just too goddamn hard when your heart is absolutely shattered and destroyed. Children are capable of bringing forth the cruelty that their parents teach them day in and day out. Yeah. By the way, we're down to $360 to go on Randy Radar's Christmas gift challenge. If we could bring in the other 360, we'd be up to speed, and it would be fantastic. We'd be caught up. And there would be a flurry of December bill paying, because there's not going to be flurries of snow down here anytime, but there would be a flurry of bill paying. Had a conversation with Ferg earlier today. He said the stuff was a little bit slushy, and there were big, lumpy clumps of snow flying around in the sky. He said if it was a little bit colder, I swear it'd be a blizzard. Well, I hope it doesn't get any colder, son. But that 360 would be wonderful if we could bring it in. And thanks to everybody who's gotten us down the first $140. Thank you. Thank you so very much indeed. This is, of course, Conversation Radio, and if any of you would like to engage in said conversation, you're mighty welcome to. Of course, on Skype, it's Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And while I'm down here, I am going to take some time and maybe set up a new Skype account or something, and just one more step toward pushing Bob into the distant past. The name, not the spirit, but yeah. Well, I didn't realize that was a December 7th show, too. Thanks for letting me know, Brother Deacon Asa. Okay, thanks, Steve. I will do that. The $12 challenge from Steve in New York for the Herky the Hawk lays a dozen eggs challenges on the table. And hopefully someone either either a happy Michigan fan or an equally despairing Iowa fan would meet that. Not to worry much, says Brother Deacon Asa. Orban hasn't got but about 5 months left of his criminal term in office. It's starting to look like he'll be shuffled off. Turns out even the Eastern Europeans couldn't put up with his toxic brand of fascism. Well, devoutly to be wished. Oh, thanks, thanks. Arnold in PA says, by the way, that sandwich looks amazing. It was. And I swear, once we get up to Florence and we're getting closer to going home, I'm gonna try to get a dozen loaves of that sourdough and get it in the freezer as soon as I get home, because there is absolutely nothing like that up there. Nothing, nowhere. Meanwhile, in the wonderful world of stupid, Tracy sent this along. Idjit Moran. It's the story of Amar Shabazz, age 23, who purchased a bunch of fake vaccination cards from a foreign online marketplace this past June, and then started advertising them on his social media accounts. Hey, need a vaccine card? Call Amar. So this criminal mastermind, Moran, Amar Shabazz, is now dealing with fraud charges from the state of Maryland because he hustled over 600 fake COVID-19 vaccine cards that he sold for $75 a pop. You maybe don't put that under your own name. COVID-19 vaccination card, who wants one? $75 a pop. That was one of his criminal mastermind posts. A month later, he said, I sell proof of vaccination cards, and then posted a link about restaurants requiring vaccine cards for admission. In one conversation online, he said, made 300 today. I'm sold out. Just bought 500 more cards. 60 times 500 is 30K. I'm going to be rich. Oh, honey. You need to figure out that 30K is not rich. But he probably needed, he needed some kind of a hustle. Because he had only gotten out of the stir in April, having done time for possession of child porn. Yeah. And he, of course, used the United States mail to deliver the vaccine cards. That's another count. That's mail fraud. And they caught up with him in August, the Customs and Border Patrol folks actually doing something useful for a change. He had mailed a package to Mar Shah, M-A-R, capital M-A-R, capital S-H-A, and he included his phone number for tracking purposes. Well, they tracked him. Then when he found out the shipping was delayed, he looked online. Has my package been seized by the feds? Then he ordered more fake vaccine cards under the name, no, really, because Moran Monday, Ace Boogie. Yeah, Amar Shabazz, a.k.a. Ace Boogie. Wouldn't you love to see that on the caption and style of it? It's bound to be. My God. The clerk will call the next case. This would be the state of Maryland versus Amar Shabazz, a.k.a. Ace Boogie. Is there a boogie in the is there a boogie in the courtroom? Will Mr. Boogie please? So he's looking at 20 years each for mail fraud and obstruction of justice. If he is convicted of the charges for the crimes he allegedly committed. This is one of those moments when allegedly in a story does a whole lot of heavy lifting. Boogie? 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 Ace Boogie. Yes, this is real, Steve, in New York. It sounds like a Benny Hill sketch. That's because stupid people do stupid Benny Hill sketch kinds of things. Lord. The stupid. It burns as us. Ace Boogie. Truly a pseudonym for the ages, Ace Boogie. Moran Monday can get exhausting sometimes. Pure genius, says Jeremy in Vermont. An idiot like this just screams that he should work with Mike Lindell on the Trump will be back, insert date here fraud. Interesting you would mention that because we have a Mr. Meth Pillow sighting, Jeremy. He's been a little bit, pissy, I guess is one way of putting it. Upset is another word. He was participating in the filming of a British documentary about the cue ball cucumber conspiracy theory, and as soon as they brought up cue balls, well, there went Mr. Meth Pillow. Channel 4 Dispatches was the outfit that was doing the interview. Here's a little bit of a clip of what they were doing. Bear in mind they will be barking and grunting and hooting because we're talking about cucumbers.
8 million children go missing every year. Where do they go?
The worst case scenario is they're being sacrificed to the devil in satanic rituals.
In the United States, in the UK, politics has been infiltrated by a conspiracy theory movement called QAnon.
We've been very purposely manipulated. Very intentionally and purposefully manipulated.
The question is, who's keeping us down? Q helped us figure that out a little bit.
Q is an anonymous figure masquerading as a whistleblower and claiming to expose the dark, dirty secrets of the world's elites.
What if everything that we've been taught is wrong?
It's about the Great Awakening.
And amazingly, people are buying into it.
All these pedophilias and all these trafficking rings and all this structure in the government. Cabal has worked for centuries to keep us all at sleep.
QAnon dates back to 2017 when a figure called Q Clearance Patriot appeared on the website 4chan. They claimed to be a government insider, but never produced any evidence to prove that. They started spreading wild conspiracies about satanic pedophiles ruling the world, Trump being the savior against an evil cabal.
Whoever Q is believes in God and trying to fight so that God does win in the end.
People believed it, and it spread to millions around the world. In the coming years, its followers shared, kidnapped, killed, attacked the US Capitol, and shared some more. And the stories grew wilder still.
She believed there was a city under New York City that kept kids.
I believe Obama is a child molester.
You think he abuses kids?
I believe that he does. I don't believe those are even his kids. I mean, his wife is not a woman.
A transgender
his wife
woman.
Is better hung than I am, and I've seen it on YouTube.
According to our own exclusive polling...
Now, just stop that. His wife isn't even a woman. His wife is better hung than I am, and I've seen it. It's the I've seen it on YouTube that makes it art. But they're out there, and they're millions. We know it. We featured stories here about these Lulus for years now. I think the first substantive conversation we had about QAnon was in a Friday on the Front Porch that I did when I was in New Orleans for Netroots Nation in 2018. And it was wacky then. It's not getting any saner. But meanwhile, there's a trial going on of Ghislaine Maxwell in which there are horrifying pieces of testimony coming forward about a real child sex predator ring that somehow or another these goobs managed to, I don't know, gloss over?
In partnership with YouGov, 58% of Brits think satanic ritual abuse of children probably happens.
58%.
And in the US, nearly 50 congressional candidates have embraced Q's ideas in their run for Congress.
My name is Kimberly Lowe. I'm running for Congress. We are at war right now. We have had a planned pandemic to destroy this country, to destroy our businesses.
Q promised that the cabal would be exposed and that justice would be achieved, but none of that came true. Donald Trump lost the 2020 election and Q stopped posting forever on December 8th of 2020. But Q supporters stayed loyal.
And there's a coming, okay? There's a reckoning, and this reign of evil is over with.
In the US and the UK, new leaders have stepped up, filling the void left by Q.
We're in a time of warfare. This is no longer a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy.
By the way, that's Mike Flynn. That voice was Mike Flynn.
Trump allies Michael Flynn and the MyPillow owner Mike Lindell.
What's your opinion on Q?
What is it?
You know what it is at this point.
A group of people that don't like pedophilia?
You're asking a stupid question.
You wouldn't even ask that if you were doing an interview. You're here to interview. This is the big lie. It doesn't matter who stands behind us or who doesn't stand. Yeah. The evidence, the truth shall set you free. I think
By the way, in case you're wondering, the voice you're hearing right now is that of Mike, Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell.
The interview's over. Wasted my time.
Well, why does it need to be offensive?
Because the way you all are. That's a joke what you did.
Okay.
Shame on
Thank you very
shame
much.
On people like you that have hurt our country.
He declares, Mr. Meth Pillow does, it's people like you who have hurt our country. Pointing out that there is no, it hurts our country, according to what passes for brains, the thin gray settlings that slosh around between Mr. Meth Pillow's ears and were destroyed by years of apparent drug abuse. It hurts our country to say out loud that there is not a criminal, pedophile, satanic ring of people who are wearing children's faces. That hurts our country to say that that's not true. It hurts our country to say that Nitwit Nero was not. God damn. Drugs are really bad, aren't they? Not some drugs.
Q's been silent for nearly a year now, but the dark forces of conspiracy remain in the minds and in the hearts and in the politics of millions around the world. The legacy of this mysterious Q figure remains.
And it's on, I guess, what? It's just Channel 4 in Britain. The Cult of Conspiracy, QAnon. And of course, there's, you know, stirring music and... And Mr. Meth Pillow said it all. It doesn't matter who stands behind us. They'll take anybody. They will take anybody as long as they are useful idiots. And advance the right-wing narrative. Jeremy in Vermont says, I think the real takeaway from the subject line video clip, I think the real takeaway from the Michelle isn't a gal is that dude quite possibly dug the idea, the dude in the clip. He's personally probably viewed transgender porn images, and not just any, but black transgender porn images. Not that there's anything wrong with that at all, but the hypocrisy is just so fucking loud. Oh, it's ear-splitting. And that's where so much, and you know, just by way of, I've mentioned it before, but just by way of explaining, many of you have seen the photos that I post. Joey, in his journal today, mentioned them and how much happier I appear. And it's true. And like I said, it's very real, the happiness. But there's no cheesecake photos. These are photographs that are completely benign, banal, even. It's just a matter of me as a trans woman trying to put images out there that will serve as positive reinforcement, perhaps, if there's somebody out there who's dealing with gender dysphoria and thinks that they can never that they can never transition, they can never be happy, they can never know that freedom. I just want them to know that they can. But that does not change the fact that from time to time, and God, it's so fucking gross. Oh, it's gross. From time to time, I just have to go through and scrub the dick pics. Probably shouldn't have used the word scrub. How about get rid of the dick pics? Because we live in a time when people who fetishize women like me want to send you unsolicited photographs of their penises. And it's not, I mean, it's kind of low-grade traumatizing. I didn't ask for that. Don't deserve that. But there is a strong strain of that shit in the Republican right wing. I cannot tell you how many chaser messages I get from people. And I guess what? I'm supposed to be honored? No. I'm supposed to feel somehow pleased that this has happened? No. But so many of these chasers, they're all private accounts. They're all low post accounts. They've got their following, and if you click like over on Instagram, if you click to see who they're following, it's all trans women. And so I go click and block and goodbye. And the number of them with Merkin flags. And, you know, okay, there's a possibility that they're just, you know, little shit weasels out of some Russian troll farm. But some of them are very much real, too. And they say things unsolicited that it... And there's an element of welcome to womanhood to it, too, because I know that cis women on the internet get the same kind of garbage. It's just there's a little sort of bubble off plum aspect to it, because this involves a really, really gross, disgusting fetish. Generally speaking, fetishes are not gross or disgusting as long as everyone is consenting. I'm not consenting. But that's, you know, that it just yuck. Because, you know, I'm very plainly, you know, I tell people in my little, you know, bios on social media, trans woman. And then I get the gross chaser stuff. And most, and I would say, and they're only interested because trans. And there's nothing nice about it. There's nothing flattering about it. But you're right, Jeremy. I think you're absolutely right. And so we passed the halfway point of the program. And just a little reminder, we've got $360 to go on Randy Radar's Merry Christmas Challenge. Up to $500, $360 to go to reach that point. And the people who jump in on it and the people who have jumped in on it aren't doubling their money. They are tripling it. It's a 2-for-1 match. Okay? It's a 2-for-1 match up to $500. This is tremendous. And I hope we can meet the other $360. I don't know how far I'm going to go in the program. I'm getting to that point where things are getting kind of sore. And it's just a part of the healing process, but it would be great if we could bring that in and have $500 worth of tripling money, 2-to-1, to completely wipe out November's deficit and bring us even with these first 6 days of December and do just a bunch of, well, like I said earlier, a flurry of bill paying. Now, like I said, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, you're absolutely welcome to do. You can get in on Skype, or you can get in on the Stress Line. The Stress Line, of course, is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. We'll see what's on your mind. I'm not looking that closely, Brother Deacon. Well, wait, Brother Deacon says, have you received a mushroom-shaped dick pic yet from @JohnBaron_1946 on Twitter? I have it on good authority. That's from a real person. The real John Barron, right? Jeremy noting 2-for-1 is too good to pass up again. So now, thank you, Jeremy. We are now down to $350 to go on Randy Radar's Merry Christmas Challenge. Ralph's asking about my new friend who was recovering from her surgery earlier. To the best of my knowledge, she got discharged today. I had a message from her saying that they were doing all the things that they do before they discharge you. And I hope I sent her a message. I hadn't heard back yet, or if I have, I haven't seen it. Asking her if she was, into where she was going to stay for the next, whatever period of time her convalescence is. I hope she's doing well. It was kind of weird. I saw a message from her earlier saying that the fire alarms were going off and that there was some smoke in the hallway. Oh, God. Never a dull moment. But she's okay. And whatever it was got resolved, and that was a weight off my mind. And hope to see her a couple more times before we have to leave. I mean, at this point in time, if everything goes according to plan, we will leave Birmingham in 2 weeks. 2 weeks to the day. And then we'll go up and spend a little time in Florence and go home after Christmas, if everything goes according to plan. So, using a lot of ice packs, trying to speed the healing process. I'm gonna try my Delta 8 gummies. I'm sure if he's listening, Scary Jerry's saying, "Yeah, that'll help." I hope it does, because I would rather use that than pharmaceuticals under these circumstances, because the pharmaceuticals have some nasty side effects. Ilf. Let's go over and check in with Steve in New York. Hey, Steve.
Howdy. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Howdy. I'm fine, and yes.
Okay, cool. You mean you don't love getting unsolicited dick pics?
No, it just never was on one of those. It was never on my bucket list.
I was like, it wasn't on your transition bucket list.
Or, for that matter, my fuck it list. So,
I have a feeling it probably wasn't on your pre-Robin bucket
no,
list.
No, no, no. I've never been a big fan of penis photography. You call me old-fashioned, but there you
old-fashioned.
Are.
Old-fashioned.
Yes. And order me an old-fashioned while you're at it.
And you know what's so bad about it? You can't unsee it.
No, you really can't. And all you, no, just put that thing away. That's just, no.
You know.
And I did this under my own steam. The program is now in the gutter.
Yeah, I know. As soon as I was going to ask another question, I'm like, you know what? Let's just move on. Let's talk about my new knives. Remember, I showed
yes,
you the picture.
Yes, you have new knives.
Mm-hmm. Can I just tell you? You'll relate. For people who like to cook, something like that is just sheer. It's sheer joy to be able to cut something, and all you do is, you don't even really have to press. You just pull the knife through.
Yeah, you touch. You just touch.
Yeah, and that was my dad and my stepmom gave me some money for Christmas, and that's – I originally bought an Apple Watch, which I'm sending back because I have one, and I'm like, it's a first generation. And my partner's like, well, isn't it slow? I'm like, well, I mean, for what I use it for, it's, you know, it's fine by me. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the bullying. What was the kid's name?
Eli.
Eli. And when I hear these stories, a million things run through my head. And I won't kid you, once in a while I have that, you know, I was bullied, how come I didn't react this way? Because I was bullied pretty bad, not for my sexuality, but for other reasons. And I wonder, what is it? That is, you know, it's, you know, I can't think that it's, well, kids are just softer nowadays. What do you think? It occurs to me that, you know, with social media, whereas a kid who gets bullied in school, when the kid goes home, there's no bullying there. But with things like, you know, with social media,
it never stops.
It's ubiquitous. Do you think that's what it is? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah,
it is?
No, I think that's absolutely a humongous part of it, because you it's inescapable. People can bully you and hurt you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and with what we now know of online bullying, one of the things we have to get rid of is this. Once upon a time, maybe it was true. I'm not sure even once upon a time it was true. But, you know, the old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Horseshit.
Yeah. No, I know. You know,
And, I mean, I received my fair share of it. I went home from school in tears. I'm not ashamed to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was there were names that were used on me before I even knew what the names meant. I was innocent. And that online bullying in its own way, you know, is a theft of innocence. Bullying in general is a theft of innocence.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember the stuff that people called me, and I remember at one point, somebody saying to me, you know, calling me, I mean, this other person shared this characteristic with me.
Is it that word? Don't say it, but yeah.
What word?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, fat. Fatso.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got that. Oh, yeah, I got that.
And this other kid who was bigger than me would start calling me that. And I said, what are you doing? And he was actually a quote-unquote friend. And I said, no, I don't. He says, well, I thought you liked it. And I remember thinking, I mean, on what planet?
Yeah, how would that be something? I was nicknamed Fatso by kids who said they were my friends. And then there was the other word that began with F and A.
And we'll just... I never got that.
Oh, God.
Thankful. Yeah. I wouldn't have known what it was anyway.
Well, I didn't know what it was, but that didn't stop them using it.
In fact, I can tell you the first time I ever heard that word is when I read Lord of the Rings. Oh, no, read The Hobbit. Because I think it's –
it's British. Yeah, it's British slang.
It's like a bundle of sticks to throw on a fire.
Right, and it eventually morphed into British slang for a cigarette. I used to go – I used to walk into the office of one of my magistrates who was raised in merry old England. And she'd say, come on, Robin, sit down. Let's have that word. And she meant nothing by it. It's sort of the way the British and the Australians throw around see the you C next word. Tuesday.
Yeah, the C word.
And it is applicable. The word is used applicably to both genders. And it's as common as the cold.
Yeah. It just means jerk, as far as I could tell.
Yeah. Or pissant.
Yeah. Or kind of like jerk plus, like a varsity jerk.
But it carries weaponized freight here for days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting we normalize it. Not by a long shot.
Yeah. I agree. There are certain terms that...
And so you get a pretty good idea. Anybody who dealt with bullying along these lines in a gentler, more innocent time gets a pretty good idea of what this little boy, this child, was dealing with. And when I saw the little dab of lipstick, and when I saw the little red painted nails, my heart went immediately to a very specific place. And it's like, oh God, please no. But if little Eli was being given given a good dose of "you're going to hell" there in Tennessee for saying at 12 that they were gay, then you can only imagine what would have happened had they said "and trans."
Oh, jeez.
And it just makes me so, so filled with fury, Steve. I mean, to the point of you kind of want to, abandon my non-violence and say that, you know, God, I hope that there is some level of justice out there for the shitty, 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 awful church-going parents and the spawn that they raised to be as horrible as they are.
Yeah. You know, on the lines of, you know, pre-social media, I can even remember not even talking about it at home with my parents. And I'm trying to think here. I don't know if it was I was ashamed. I don't know if it was, you know, kind of I get enough of it at school. I just want to forget it while I'm at home. And when you have a kid who can't escape it, I mean, I can't imagine to hear that constantly. And at some point,
it's destructive.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think what the fact that the kid, what did you, I don't remember if you said how he killed himself.
That was not disclosed. I'm guessing.
Okay.
I'm guessing probably hanging
because yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
So many children do that.
Mm-hmm.
So too many children do that.
And it what when I hear this, what goes through my mind is, as awful as it is that the kid did it, what's even worse, at least I think so, for me is, number one, for a seventh grader or 7 year old?
12 year old, seventh grade.
12 year old, oh, seventh grade. For a 12 year old to even contemplate that, and to go to more than contemplate, because usually things like that aren't spontaneous. It's something thought out and planned. And for a 12 year old to go down that road, it boggles my mind, because I can't get my head around even going there at that age. And it could, I'm admittedly just bigger, and I don't mean fatter, but I've always been bigger than a lot of kids, and that is also a somewhat of an advantage. But in the end, words, I think, frankly, hurt more than sticks and stones. Because words don't go away, A bruise heals.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of children out there using sticks and stones, but by God, they use social media like knives. And I'm talking about what the kids did, but you cannot let the parents have a pass.
No, absolutely not.
The parents are the monsters here. Children do not hate spontaneously. Children do not repeat shit about hell and going to hell and why people would go to hell without having been taught most carefully how to do that.
Yeah. And
you know what kind of churches are in I mean, sure, there are decent churches in Tennessee, no doubt about it. But what was it, WKRN? Was that the TV station? Let's find out where WKRN is.
I'll bet that's Knoxville.
No, it's Nashville.
Oh, it's Nashville, okay.
Yeah. But, that they cover Middle Tennessee. They cover all of Tennessee, but... Look at the hate being poured out in a place like Williamson County, Brentwood, Tennessee. We were talking last week about that documentary on HBO Max, The Way Down. That cult church tormented. It's weird. The whole theology was centered on weight loss. But eventually they got around to, they would demand that church members who were taking behavioral health medications just put them down, quit it, stop it, and send their own church members into horrifying spirals of pain and withdrawal, and send them right back into the same behavioral health issues that they got the medications for in the first place.
You mean like SSRIs and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you what it was like when I went off of it.
I mean, they do serve a purpose. I mean, I remember Tom Cruise, it seemed like this was more a sort of a Christianized Scientology, because they were that culty. But, that's like, I've been resisting the idea of going on these medications for nerve pain simply because I do this program for hopefully 3 hours every evening, and I can't afford to be fuzzy. If I wasn't worried about that, I'd be, you know, blazing up a number or something. But no. And most of these drugs were developed primarily as anti-epileptics. But, like, for instance, Cymbalta is it's an SSNI. But it has an antidepressant effect. Gabapentin, Neurontin, works on the brain chemistry that way too. And since I'm not, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm, Robin Kincaid, amateur pharmacist. I'm not trying to play that. But since I don't suffer from depression. I worry about the effects of taking an antidepressant medication and what that might do. So hence I am chomping on my Delta 8 CBD gummies in hope that I will get some relief that way. You know, from the little satanic gnomes that are playing with their voltage meters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have some fantastic news. We are down from $350 to go on Randy Radar's 2-for-1 Merry Christmas challenge. We're down from $350 to only $200.
Oh. Now, the one that my challenge, we're going to apply that to that challenge.
Right. I just need somebody to jump in with the other dozen eggs.
Yeah.
But God, we need a dozen for Georgia too.
Yeah, I just I hope whoever TTUN play. I suspect TTUN is going to play
Georgia,
Alabama. Well, in the championship.
Well, no, I figure. So they got to get past Georgia, and then I'm guessing I haven't seen the rankings. I assumed it would be Alabama versus Cincinnati, and mm-hmm. Georgia and Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And let me just say something. I know Cincinnati probably doesn't really have a chance, but I just think
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
They're the only undefeated team in the playoff.
Fair enough.
And it takes a little bit of a miracle to be an undefeated team in any damn league.
Right. Especially 13-0.
Yeah.
You know, 11-0 or 12-0 is not uncommon, but 13-0.
And they had games where they refused to lay down. I mean, Houston gave them as good as they could get in the AAC championship game.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's cool that a team that nobody counted in the beginning of the year.
The Cinderella story here on the 18th hole. Cinderella story.
Oh, we got all that one. Yeah.
Oh, we got all of that.
Big
hitter, the llama.
And I have a special place in my heart for Luke Fickell because Luke Fickell was the coach of Ohio State the last time they had a losing season and the only time in the last, I don't know, 100 years or so where they lost to the team up north. And it was because, I don't know if you remember the whole Tressel stuff where Tressel resigned and Fickell basically was like, yeah. In like 2 months before the season.
Yeah, he was handed the caretaker job because yeah, Jim Tressel lost it. No, John Cooper is the one who lost the team. Just completely lost control. But then,
well,
yeah.
But
oh,
it was
by the way,
when
I,
you
I,
have
hey,
people.
By the way, I didn't specifically thank Lee and Smitty. They're the ones who took us down to only $200 to go on Randy Radar's Merry Christmas Challenge. So, thank you, Smitty, and thank you to Lee. That's profoundly helpful, and I hope we can finish the job.
Did you see about the Michigan prosecutor who's thinking of charging some of the school people, the school officials?
I think it's damned well warranted.
You may tell you what, she ain't messing around. And I hope she's
as furious as she seems.
Yeah. Well, and I hope it serves as some sort of model or, you know, a harbinger of things. Because you would know more about this because you did some criminal work. I think a lot of the reason, or a big reason, that people haven't charged parents is because people were scared to. But if she
yeah, because it would bring down the wrath of the NRA. Yeah.
But if she can get a conviction against these parents, I think, you know, this is the equivalent is if you're ever in class and the teacher says, does anybody have a question? And nobody raises their hand until the first person does. And then everyone has a question. I think it'll open the floodgates for prosecutors to basically say, oh, hell, we can do this. And it may. It may just. You know, signal a change in things because it needs to change. Now, I do realize these parents were – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but as I remember, he had the gun in his backpack that day and they knew it. And didn't his mother text him, don't get caught?
I don't know for sure. It'll all – you know as well as I, it all has to come out at trial.
Right.
But what more do you want than they bought it for him, knowing that it would not be legal? I'm pretty sure they had to know it would not be legal for him to possess it in the state of Michigan. Can a 15-year-old have a 9mm semi-automatic pistol in Michigan? Is Michigan that far gone?
Well, Robin, if he couldn't buy it himself, he couldn't have it.
Right, just like Kyle Rittenhouse with the straw purchaser in Wisconsin. Now there is a joker in the deck with all of this, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for Nitwit Nero to get involved with this, and. Because there were so many stories over the years about how people, sir,
people come to me, they say, sir, please don't say anything about this, but that's not the kind of man I am. I'm going to talk about this because freedom.
So I think how this case in Michigan goes is going to hinge in a big way on whether the former guy shit for brains jumps into the issue and, of course, makes it all about him because that's how these things happen. You know, look what the Proud Boys did for young Herr Rittenhouse. So over on, I don't know if it was Fox or one of the other. It's Newsmuck. That's where Spicy works now. Spicy Spicer.
Mm-hmm.
Spicy did an interview with Nitwit Nero. I have the audio here. And I mention this because it's another thing where he ought not, shouldn't, whatever. But of course, he does what he wants to do. Check this out.
You know, Mr. President, in the book, there's a picture of you with Vice President
Audio
Pence.
Is very low. I apologize.
And you talk about the caption that you wrote, and I understand you wrote all the captions on these photos, says that you got along great except on one issue. Vice President Pence on Thursday said that he did the right thing on January 6th. In your mind, did he do the right thing, and is that obviously the one thing that you didn't agree with him on?
Totally, and he didn't do the right thing, and he's a person who's a good person. He didn't do whatever it is that you might say he should have done. because, and I think you agree with me, and a lot of people agree with me, if you see that the election was fraudulent, if you see that there are more votes than there are voters, if you see many of the things that went along, and they're coming out on a weekly basis more and more and more, and you'll be seeing more come out. It's not me. It's states now. Look at what's going on in Pennsylvania. They're sending subpoenas to many people. And now the federal government will try and stop that because they don't want that to happen. They got away with something that is, in my opinion, the crime of the century. And instead of going after Antifa and BLM and all these people that killed a lot of people and burned down our cities, and what they did, the destruction.
I mean, this fucker's not even living in reality, Steve, but that's not why I'm, that's not actually why I played the clip. It's what he's going to get to. It's kind of hilarious. On the phone, Donald Trump, what, there's no webcam at Mar-a-Lardass or Bedminster?
Yeah, because he's sitting there in his tidy-whities and a wife beater eating a big bucket of chicken, that's why.
I was going with Cheetos, but, you know, great minds. And you know, they're sending these subpoenas to people. Huh? He has no idea what's going on. It's just pure stream of unconsciousness. But no, he's going to get around to something that I think ties into what I was saying a moment ago.
Okay, let me say something real quick.
People that were protesting.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, go ahead.
It's almost like he has a list. He has a word list. That
well, he does.
Every time he talks,
It's not written. It's burnt into the remnants of whatever used to be his brain.
I mean, how you get from election fraud to subpoenas to BLM, and it's like I have to include all these things in there because you know each
because
each,
those are the things that make the little mouth walking, knuckle breathing goons respond.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important. We need to get to the little nugget here. Stand by.
Okay.
The election was the insurrection. The November 3rd date was the insurrection. The January 6th date was not the insurrection. That was the protest. And what's happening is a disgrace. They're going after and destroying these people. Instead, and I'm not saying everybody behaved, they didn't behave, but there were a lot of other people involved there, and they know who they were, but they're not showing it. They killed Ashley Babbitt. They shot her, and they killed her. There was no reason for that. If that ever happened the other way around, you would be seeing trials on television right now, and the man that did it wouldn't have a chance. This guy couldn't get out fast enough. He couldn't get out fast enough to say how he shot an unarmed young lady. They killed Ashley Babbitt, and that was the person that died. Nobody else died on January 6th.
Nobody else died on January 6th. I guess the comedy value you have to see the video for, because Spicy is just sitting there with his mouth kind of hanging open, catching flies. He knows his paycheck depends on not pushing back against any of this horse shit, but he's kind of astounded. But the bottom line, no, Ashley Babbitt was not innocent. You know that, and I know that, Steve. Ashley Babbitt was an active participant in an insurrection against constitutional governance in the United States. She was engaging in an invasion of the Capitol building, and she got shot for her trouble. And frankly, it still kind of amazes me that there weren't more shot. So just to put a bow on this and explain where I'm going with it, if the former guy decides that there is a benefit to him speaking out about the parents. I don't think even he, scumbag that he is, I don't think that he will speak out for little Monster Crumbly. But I could see him easily getting behind Mother and Father Crumbly, claiming that they are being persecuted. They're being, and especially if Mother Crumbly's fawning letter to him praising him for his support of the Second Amendment continues to get more legs, eventually it will draw him like tobacco juice draws a bee sting out of your arm. Okay.
Yeah. I think you're dead on.
And he'll have to respond. And
these people are being persecuted because they're patriotic Americans who love the Second Amendment. They're only prosecuting them because she wrote a fawning, lovely letter to me. I got the loveliest blog post.
And then it'll be off to the fucking races, Steve. And the money will pour into their defense. And it'll be, you know, the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff, all, you know, the usual creepy, nasty little right-wing maggoty suspects will be there to pump a gazillion dollars into the defense. And just to, you know, just to take it one step further and draw a little bit of a the line is admittedly fuzzy, but... So I presume you saw the story today where President Biden is imposing further sanctions on Russia, and in particular on individual sleazy, skeevy, slimy Russian oligarchs. And that
I didn't.
Yeah, well, that is why huggable, lovable, cuddleable, wouldn't hurt a fly unless it was standing on a ledge, Vlad Putin is saber-rattling in Ukraine. He is there's a massive troop buildup on the Russia-Ukraine border and a lot of blathering in Russian media about how Ukraine is a natural part of Mother Russia and you know, basically trying to lay the groundwork for him rolling over Ukraine the way he did over the Crimea.
I was going to say, this sounds like Crimea Part 2.0.
Yeah. And so, you know, the sanctions are now coming. But here's what's interesting out of all of that. Guess who is jumping in on the side of Mother Russia? Any guess?
I mean, Trump is obviously my first guess, but I was thinking people like, oh, like who? What's his face in the Congress? McCarthy?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, you know, whatever Nitwit Nero wants, but this is the kind of thing that'll make Todd eat dirt and run rabbits because he's talked about it for years. You know, I've, for years now, since 2016, I've referred to them as the National Ruble Association.
Mm-hmm.
The NRA's lobbying arm, the Institute for Legislative Action, said, NRA is reviewing all political, legislative, and legal options to fight this new policy. Well, the new policy that they're fighting is President Biden's blockade on importation of Russian ammunition.
Ugh.
Because Americans buy more ammunition imported from Russia than from any other country. And it's garbage. I mean, if you, it really is. I mean, if you talk to a reputable gun store proprietor, they'll, you know, don't, if you've got a good firearm, don't run this garbage ammunition through it. You'll trash your gun. But it's ammunition that can be obtained and used in firearms that are popular among American gun humpers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the NRA is opposed to this sanction that limits the ability of Mother Russia to sell ammunition to the new 90 states of Merca. You know, among other things, it's like the difference between, and this stuff, if you are into firearms, and I know a little bit about them, the same can be said with some stuff coming out of Mexico. There's a big difference between a brass casing and a steel casing. Brass is far better than steel. You know, and this crap coming out of Russia is steel. And lo and behold, as Sarah Okeson at DC Report pointed out, the Tula cartridge works. And I've seen Tula on the shelves in my local Rural Cane. The Tula cartridge works has ties to the person who mentored, and this is the name that's going to make Todd eat dirt and run rabbits. Tula Cartridge Works has ties to the mentor of who? Maria Butina. Remember Maria?
Oh,
Maria,
wow.
Maria, Maria, Maria. I just met a girl named Maria, and she wants to give us dirt on Hillary Clinton. No more singing. We've got $190 to go on the phone, on Randy Radar's Merry Christmas Challenge. Thank you to Ralphs for jumping in on that, because Ralphs pointed out I had no idea what TTUN stood for, and now I do. So here's another $10.
Well, hey Ralphs, can you put it up another two, and then I'll match that 12?
No, you don't. She doesn't have to.
Okay.
Because Billable Rick said, all right, Robin, I'm relenting. I'll match Steve's $12 Iowa offense rotten egg challenge, and I'll add 3 eggs for an even $15. Please apply this to Randy Radar's challenge. Also, I implore Steve-O from Georgistan to pitch in $12 for the rotten farmer's dog food second half performance. Oh, my God. Oh, that's restaurant quality. The rotten farmer's dog food second half performance of his beloved Bulldogs in the SEC championship game. So let's see. We're at 190 and 12 and 15, carry the 13. That takes us down to $163 to go for to meet Randy Radar's challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. And my God, I want my cowbell so freaking bad right now.
Yeah, I was
now.
Just going to say, there's a whole series of cowbells right there.
Yeah, the rotten farmer's dog food second half performance of his bow. Oh, my. That's good. That's good, Billable. That's, I mean, reaching deep into the annals of Steve from Georgistan comedy for that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he'd gone any further, he would have run up against that piece of bubble gum you swallowed 15 years ago.
I think that was
during Brother Bishop Steve's exegesis on what happens when you're having a colonoscopy.
Oh my God.
Oh,
and somehow we needed to work the cat in there, and how it's
not,
it wasn't.
God
about
damn
the
it,
cat.
Steve! It's not about the cat. You just worked the cat into it, so yeah. There we are.
Wow, that's not as in a cowbell. That would have been cow.
That was the whole
carillons.
No, that was the whole herd coming in for the hay bale. Clank, 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 clank.
And back to what you were saying about Nitwit Nero.
Can you see him jumping in like that, though?
Of course.
Did I accidentally eat the Delta 9 gummies?
Well, Robin, let's remember something. When it comes to him, imagine the worst thing and square it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we hear about how they're attacking those parents because of their parenting, and all they were trying to do was instill a respect for the Second Amendment in
that
kid.
See, you've already got the script. Ain't it just chilling? It comes that easy.
You know why it comes that easy?
Because we've
heard it before.
We've got long experience knowing how they fucking think. I've been sitting too long. I had to stand up here for a little bit. I hope and I got my mic pointed straight up, so I hope things are going to be okay.
You're fine.
Okay, good.
You're fine. I do notice something. I notice some real progress. Is your endurance is getting a little bit better each time?
I think so. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there's still discomfort. And mm-hmm. yesterday was a real challenge when the horrible thing that is Apple Maps sent me what felt like halfway to Montgomery because I wanted some red eye gravy and tomato gravy on a damn biscuit. When we left Target, we were 3 minutes from the other Big Bad Breakfast. Five tops. And their stupid algorithm sent me to Hoover.
Do you use Google Maps?
No, I was a dumb girl. I simply said, you know, her name, directions to, and Big Bad Breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, and I'm like, damn, I don't remember it being that far away. But
you mean Tom Cruise's daughter's name?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I use Google Maps because I have the same thing issue with maps. Apple Maps is it's generally pretty good, but once in a while.
Well, no, I don't like it at all because I've learned some hard lessons being down here. One of which is, for some reason or another, and my carrier is Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Maps will show me my turn coming up, but it's not keeping me on the map in real time. I mean, it's like an internet based latency, like 15-20 seconds, and I'm passing the goddamned intersection, and then rerouting because I've got her set for Australian. It's like fat me.
Yeah, it's like rerouting. I'm all I'm doing is going straight here. What? I get it.
And so, but Google Maps doesn't do that to me. Oh, well, see, now it's not the same thing as the prophecy coming true, but I just got one of those Save America Pack blithers.
Great to see that David Perdue is running for governor of Georgia. He's a conservative fighter who isn't afraid of the radical left and is the only candidate in Georgia who can beat Stacey the Hoax Abrams in November. Brian Kemp has failed Georgia. He caved to Stacey Abrams before the 2020 election and allowed massive election fraud to take place.
And they will eat that shit with a spoon, the maggots will. And so, you know, David Perdue is just a pathetic little fanboy, and he's running because, well, once you've got Nitwit Nero's endorsement, then the grift is on.
Mm-hmm. My dad actually texted me today. He said he saw a Perdue ad. He seems to think that Perdue's going to have a hard time. Look, if anybody can turn Georgia bluer, it's Stacey Abrams.
Well, hopefully with Stacey Abrams running for governor, there will be a coattail effect running in both directions between her and Senator Warnock.
Yeah, and Senator Warnock, right?
Because we have to save Warnock, we have to save Kelly, and then I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility to think we could pick up Ohio once J.D. Vance and the other members of the Bedlam crew have gotten done out crazying each other. So, with that having been said, you know, save those two seats, okay? So you're even. Pick up Ohio, pick up Pennsylvania. You're up two. You have just zeroed out Manchin and Sinema. pick up a couple of more. And like I've been saying all along, then you get to tell Kirsten and Joe to sit down and shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. As long as the two, as long as those two extra, as long as everybody cooperates. And I hope the hell Tim Ryan is not going to turn out to be another Joe Manchin.
I'll have to talk. Wait, don't we have somebody in Columbus in the family?
Yeah, Dennis.
Yeah, my friend. Actually, I think my friend Ben. That's the one I go when I go to Dudathon, which I think I'm going to go next this time. I think they live fairly close because I mentioned that the place I think it's called Studio 65 or something like that. I'd be curious to hear Dennis's take on what he on the Senate race there.
And I think our buddy Jake is there too. And I would be interested to. And by the way, for those of you who contribute via the U.S. Postal Service, obviously I'm not able to go to the mailbox in Beckley. So those thank yous will be forthcoming, but not until I get home and get to the mailbox. So if you have participated via the U.S. Postal Service, please accept our ongoing and undying thanks. I just don't know what's there yet. And there's Jake. Yes, you have. Carl and me, Jake from Columbus. And it's Studio 35.
Is it 35? Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, am I just being too much of a Pollyanna in thinking that we could pick, save those two seats and pick up four?
Look, let me just. I'm going to paraphrase you that sometimes you just have to dream big.
Well, if we don't give voice to our dreams, then we really don't have a proper sense of what it is we're fighting for. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think what you're saying is I think it's definitely doable. I don't know. I just really, I mean, the notion of a Speaker McCarthy who will be a complete toady to nitwit Nero.
See, but here's the problem, Steve. We look at Kevin McCarthy and we see a complete and unadulterated blivet. And you will recall that a blivet is 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound onion bag. But there are a bunch of people who, and this is what bias confirmation does to your brain. We see there are a lot of people who look at Kevin McCarthy and say, he's what we need. He's what we need. He's going to just speak the truth. And he's going to stand up to these Black Lives Matter, Antifa, critical race theory, liberal goddamn Democrats. I could take a microphone out onto the streets of Birmingham and find you 15 people who would say that within a city block. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday outside the CBD store, I might add.
Oh, my God.
Dear God, when I die, don't let me vote Democrat. This idiot, this brass-bound booby apparently is absolutely convinced that there's all kinds of fraudulent voting taking place among the dead.
Hello?
Yeah, right here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, it just cut out for a sec. Oh, I don't know if you saw this, and I'm not into this you know, People Magazine type stuff. But I just saw a headline on CNN that Jesse Smollett testified he had a sexual relationship with the prosecution's star witness.
Yeah, dear God.
Yeah, that whatever.
Oh, and by the way, Jake says, "What's up? Y'all want to go to Dudathon? What's your number? I'll call if you have a moment." Jake, if you want to jump in, it's 844-843-4676. 844 the horn. But if you're going to jump in quickly, because I am going to have to knock off here.
And, yeah, I was just going to suggest that because I can hear it in your voice.
And we're at $167 to go to finish off this this amazing 2-for-1 challenge, courtesy of Randy Radar, and the Merry Christmas challenge. And it would be wonderful to get that met before the program's over. It will stay open for the overnight crew, but people respond at different times when they're, you know, when they're listening in delay. Let me see here. I've got to get the phone tied into the board.
Did you see the statistic about the children's COVID cases?
Which one?
133,000 new in the last week.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but you know it's just the flu. Okay, I got Jake here. Hey, Jake, how are you?
I'm as good as can be expected, considering the shithole times we're living through.
Yeah, but, I understand. Listen, hang on a sec. Let me see if you're because your audio is really really low.
It could be my phone running out of juice. I turned up my ear, my thing a little bit. I don't know if that'll help.
Okay. I've got everybody. I'm going to mute myself and mute Steve.
Hold on a minute. Let me go on speaker. That might be helpful. Hold on.
Okay.
What about that?
Not a lot of difference.
Okay. Well, my phone's fully charged, so who knows? Fucking technology. You know how it is.
I understand.
Well, you know how it is more than I do. But nevertheless, I wanted to say about Dudathon, well, you guys wanted to go up, come up for that? Is that in June? I forget. I've never been. But I did go to their Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me presentation, and they had Leland Palmer and Laura Palmer there, and that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And by the way, you are coming through. You're coming through much better. For some reason or another, you're only on one channel. You're in the left channel, so I hear you fine.
Okay, great.
Steve, when is Dudathon?
Dudathon is MLK weekend, so it's next month. I have my ticket.
Wow.
My friend got my ticket already.
Oh, okay.
It's sold out. It sells out in about an hour.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So, yeah, I live in Columbus, but I've never gone to Dudathon. I don't think they had it last year, so, yeah, I can imagine it would sell out this year because – who knows what's going to be going on in January, but, you know, we are the epicenter of the pandemic in Ohio. They're in the city. You will see people wearing masks, but once you're outside the city, you are in Trumplandia, and these motherfuckers are flying their flag, wearing their bumper stickers, booing their hate, buying their Confederate flags, and not wearing masks and being assholes because that's all they are. So just beware of that.
Well, Jake, let me ask you, do you think if Tim Ryan gets the Democratic nomination in the Senate race, does he have a chance against any of these clowns?
I hope to God he does, because the two clowns are horrible. Our little I call him little Joshy Mandel. He's Jewish, and he is throwing his lots in with the Proud Boys and the Patriot Front. And we have our share of them here. The bad thing about this is we are redistricting. We have been gerrymandered to death. I believe that the latest map that was approved and signed into law by Governor DeWine They basically got it. So there's 22 potential Republican votes for every 3 Democratic votes in these districts. So they
are totally coincidental, though, right?
Yeah, totally coincidental. And, you know, Jim Jordan, that motherfucker, he's from my hometown. I don't claim him. He's an asshole. But that's, you know, my hometown is like that. It's like, it's,
what is it, Steubenville or St. Clairsville?
Since COVID, I have not been out of the city, but a couple times I've been out, especially in rural Ohio. I feel like I'm in a Nazi or kind of surreal world because there's Trump shit everywhere. And fuck Biden, and, you know, just, it's just sad. And, you know, I'll never live outside of the city because that's the last refuge for us scoundrels. And, I couldn't live in a small town. I grew up in a small town. Steve probably knows it. It's Urbana. And that's where Jimmy Jordan's from. He had a great congressman for many years. He was very highly respected. Clarence J. Brown, he owned a chain of newspapers out here, which were pretty damn good newspapers. But, of course, he's long gone. And that's the father of Clancy Brown, the famous character actor.
Oh, wow.
And actually, I used to see Clancy in church when he was a teenager when I was growing up because they went to the Episcopal church that my mom would take us to.
Yeah, my mom is from Urbana.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yep.
How old is your mother?
I don't know. Mom and I hardly speak anymore.
Are you on good terms? Oh, okay. No. I'm sorry to hear that. Does she still live there?
No, she lives in. They live in. I mean, she hasn't lived in Ohio in 20 years.
She might know my mother, perhaps. I don't. My mother graduated in 1960. So that's when my mother graduated from high school. So I just wondered if maybe they knew each other. But
My mom.
I'm like you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, my mom. They lived in Urbana for a while. They ended up in Greenville. I don't know. I just don't know the timeline. She went to Greenville High School, but they did live in Urbana for a while because I remember going to visit my grandpa.
Oh, so you've been to my hometown, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't that where the Swedenborgians are from?
Yes, and they just shut down after 150 years, Urbana College, which the Swedenborgians actually founded, and it was very sad. But I hear that I think a couple former folks, football players are in negotiations to turn that campus into a football camp for young people, especially kids that need some guidance in their life. And I think that's a great thing, and I hope it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a beautiful campus, and there's a lot of some of the buildings there are fairly new. There's a couple very old buildings that are very cool that should be preserved. But it's got its charm. But I can't, I went to school in Athens. Graduated, spent some time in Israel, got an internship after college. I spent about 4 or 5 months over in Israel during the Lebanon War, and then came back to New York. It was the Reagan recession. I had no job. I had no prospect. A friend of mine said, you can stay here in New York and look for a job. I looked for a job. I had a job in 2 weeks, and I stayed there for 17 years. So I consider myself a New Yorker in that respect. Mm-hmm. I lived there through the first of the AIDS crisis. I'm a gay guy, and there's some parallels in our life, apparently. So I find that interesting.
I used to work, you will probably go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if you come to Dutathon and you'd like to meet, and if I have a moment, I'm a Columbus City Schools teacher. I probably shouldn't say that on the air, but if you want to hang out some day, I'd be willing to do that. I know a couple still cool spots, although OSU has basically been mauled over, but it's all franchises. They even have a Chick-fil-A over there now. Mm-hmm. So all the cool places along the High Street are gone, but there are a few cool places further north, like up in Clintonville. Yeah. And
I have to see what my friend has in store. I haven't seen him in two years.
That's cool.
So.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just,
I appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. I also know some good restaurants. If you just want to call and get some recommendations I can throw to you your way. So I'll just throw that out there, and if you want, I'll give you my number offline. And you can get in touch or my email or whatever.
Yeah, I'll send Robin has all my stuff.
I'm sorry, Robin.
No, it's okay.
And, I have to say a moment. I have to say a couple things to Robin, if she doesn't mind. And
please do.
Steve, it's been great talking. I was a little concerned about you yesterday. You sounded so fucking angry about a goddamn football game. Isn't there more fucking important shit to be angry about? I know you're an angry young man, but come on now. You sounded like you wanted to go out there and kill somebody. I was getting worried there.
Who, me?
You guys were talking about football. I think it was Friday or something, but you were really pissed off. I can't remember what game y'all were talking about. And you said, I fucking hate those. You know,
I do.
And, the coach. The coach's nephew, or his mom was, yeah. I don't know. There was a connection there.
Yeah, his aunt.
I don't follow football much. You're right. There you go. That's the one I'm talking about. But I did while I'm here. I don't call in very often. I'm kind of phone shy tonight. I'm in a, I'm having the upward cycle of my bipolarism. So I'm feeling a little more, what's the word I want? I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll remember the word when I'm off the phone, but expansive, I guess. You know, I want to talk to people. Whereas a lot of times during this pandemic, I've just shut down completely and had to be in this house and also to try to do my job from home, which I hated. And but I did want to say a couple words to Robin because I haven't talked to her since all this came about.
Oh, and please tell.
Yes. Robin, if you're there.
I'm here.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, fantastic. I just want to congratulate you. I'm going to tell you something. I was going to write this to you, but I'm just going to tell you. You have changed my whole attitude toward trans people. And Steve probably knows this, but, you know, there's a large segment of the gay community, if you want to call it that. I never found this to be much of a community because we're always backbiting and putting other of us down. And I've been guilty of that, too. When I was in New York, we hated the clones. We were the East Village cool club kids. You know, we didn't fuck around with those people. I knew RuPaul when she was still fucking, you know, scavenging change on the streets, you know, and working the Pyramid Club. Now she's a fucking billionaire. Well, hey, luck of the draw. Nevertheless, there is that going on in the gay community, and that's always worked against us. And trans are one of the last groups to be accepted by the gay community. And your willingness to share with us what the whole journey. When I heard about it shortly after you announced it, I think I got in hold of you then because I was like, well, what's this big announcement? What's this? Because I'd missed a couple days of the show. I was just floored. I was like, wow. But you have really shown amazing humanity to all this. That, and deep down inside, I know trans people are just regular people that, you know, and just like I want to be gay because, well, I don't want, no, we have no choice. You have no choice. And that you have shown me that. And I just want to thank you because you changed my whole attitude toward trans people. Part of my derision, I guess you want to, for lack of a better term, one of my friends here who I went to college with and we were pretty tight, she actually got involved with a trans man. And she kind of dumped me to the wayside, and I haven't seen her in like 3 years. And I got the impression when I first met her boyfriend, they live together now, that he didn't like me. And that's probably true because I can, you know, some people just don't like me, and that's just fine with me. I don't give a fuck. But the people that do like me, they know I'm a loyal, fierce, wonderful friend to have and would get a shirt off my back button anyway. But, you know, I think that colored my view. And, you know, that's not a good thing. One person does not represent a whole community. Otherwise, it's not a community. It's one person. And so I just have to thank you. I'm proud of you. I'm really actually hoping, and I don't know if you can still do this or not, but I'm hoping maybe I can make it down in June for the
I've kept it open, and I would love to have a – an even bigger gathering down there, you know, just food and fun and festivities and and a real time Friday on the front porch with real people. I think it'd be fantastic.
I think it'd be awesome, and I need to get the fuck out of here. But we don't know what's going to be going down the pike here between now and then. I don't make plans past this week, pretty much. But I am hoping that we can do something like that. But you know, I'm supposed to be. My father passed away earlier this year. He didn't speak to me for a year. He started after his wife died. About 13 months before, he started getting into the Fox News thing, loves Trump, started talking about the squad. And, like, they were those. One day he said, those bitches should be taken out and shot. And I was just like, and he used to use the N-word around me after I asked him numerous times to refrain from using it. But I guess it's his house. He could say what he wants. Well, all that kind of, suddenly I became the enemy, okay? So he passed away in March. I didn't speak to him for the last year of his life. You know, the last word he said to me was called me a motherfucker on a voicemail he left. And it was the last word he ever said to me. And I feel bad about it. But,
oh, God, Jay, you know, I'm so sorry. That's so awful.
It is awful, but you know what? It's happening all over this country. And you know who's responsible. Bucktard.
Yeah.
With Nero, my favorite, I came up with this one, Virus Disgustus. That's my name for him. And, you know, he caused all this shit. You know, my dad never, I mean, he had his racist leanings like a lot of rural white men do. And he was never around black people until he was an adult. Actually, he had black friends when I was growing up. I remember some of them coming out to the house, and I was intrigued by the color of their skin because I'd never seen black people before. You know, I lived in outside Urbana, which was pretty much all white. I think there was one family of black people in my entire school district. And when they moved in, it was like, wow, you know, we have black people here. You know, it was 1968. You know, I've watched all this, and I have my mother. She's a saint. She smacked my mouth if I ever said that word. My dad used it all the time around me, but if I ever said it, she would smack the shit out of me. She said, "Don't you ever talk about that word." One of her friends in the early 70s was married to a black man, so you know I've been able to overcome any leanings toward racism that would have been ingrained in me as a child, and I thank her for that. And you know. I was seeing a black man recently. He unfortunately overdosed on fentanyl, and he thought he had snort cocaine, and he overdosed on fentanyl. But you know, I just want to thank Robin for turning my head around to something I knew was true, which was that you know you're a fucking human being, you deserve to be happy, and you deserve the best. And you've given out so much to it. I've been listening to you for probably over 10 years now. Bush was still in office when I started listening to you. And I just want to thank you because there's been days when I just felt so hopeless. And I still feel hopeless many days because I see the direction this is going and it's not going to be pretty. They are going to steal 22 and 24. And I will not be surprised if Trump is reinstalled as dictator.
Well,
I mean
Jake,
they're
going to try. They're going to try.
It's up to us
to use every last.
We don't put up the fight of our lives.
Yeah.
And get people out there to the polls, no matter what. They are going to succeed, and then they're going to come after people like us. Anybody who's not like them, they're going to come after. They're already setting the shit up. And I just sent you an email. Well, they are demonizing us because when you demonize a group of people, it's easier to think of them not as people.
Yes, and with all absolutely. And let me just take a moment because
like them, you're a fucking demon, so you should just go to hell anyway. And so, as a matter of fact, because we're God-fearing Christians, we can put you there ourselves.
Right.
You know, and this kind of sick shit is just seems to be crescendoing.
Let me just jump in here for a couple of minutes. First of all, I want to say thank you because it's things like you just said and the comments that we had last week from Paul from Parts Unknown that validate my decision to be as public as I possibly could in my transition, because I wanted to normalize it. I want it to just be another thing that happens to ordinary, everyday human beings. As to the upcoming election, Jake, let me just say that, you know, we are in a phase right now, and the people who fundraise for political campaigns and whatnot are for everything saying, you know, this is the election of our lifetime. Well, every election from now for the foreseeable future is going to be the election of our lifetime. Every election from now on is going to be, you have to vote like your life depends on it, because it does. It's not, if we can improve the Senate, if we can hold on to the House in 22, that doesn't mean we get a breather. It means we work harder every blessed day. And we cannot, and we cannot lose sight of the fact of who will get hurt and who will suffer if we let up.
Yep, because after they overturn abortion, they're going to come after same-sex marriage.
Sure.
Everything's
on the table.
They're pulling out here in the hinterland.
Jake, the reason they're coming after the trans community so hard is they want to peel us off from the LGBTQ. They want to get us out from under that umbrella. You know, the TERFs out there are saying, oh, you know, we're okay with gay people. Just, you know, not them fucking trans people. And because if they can, you know, divide and conquer, you peel off one group and then you go for the next weakest group and you peel them off. And pretty soon there's nobody left. It's either stand together or hang separately. It could not be any more simple. But I have to go now. I've reached the extent of my strength. And hey, we got a 3-hour program in, so that's a big deal.
Well, look, it's been great talking to you, Steve. If you want to, Robin has my email address. You can pass it along, Robin, to him if he wants to get together, or if he wants to just get in touch and get some recommendations about some of the great places to eat in Columbus, of which there are many, or some cool place to go some night while he's here besides Studio 35, which itself is a cool place. Just get in touch.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you.
I'll send Jake's address along to you. Jake, thank you so much. Thank you for all you said.
Yeah.
I appreciate it so much.
You know, I am supposed to get my dad has a vacation place down in Hocking Hills, and it's going to be up. It's going to sell next month. I'm hoping to get a nice chunk of change from it. Even though, you know, he put my brother in charge of his trust and did not leave a will or anything else. But I think my brother's going to be fair. If that happens, I'll be able to come to Hornathon.
That would be wonderful. We'd love to have you at the Hornathon, Jake. It would be wonderful.
I will definitely keep it. Now, what are the dates on that?
It is Thursday, June the 2nd. Through the following Sunday. Let me call it up here real quick. Yeah, Thursday, June the 2nd, Friday the 3rd, Saturday the 4th, and getaway on Sunday the 5th.
Okay, that might pose a problem because I think school year ends on the 3rd, but I could probably, you know, if I got my ducks in order,
the second is just a get-there day. Nobody's going to be showing up until the evening. And then the big shenanigans will be Friday night and then Saturday.
Right. And then Friday. About how long will it take to go from Columbus to where about the Hornathon is going to take place?
About
4 hours?
No, not even. Columbus to Fayette County is, what, maybe 2.5 hours?
Yeah, because I was going to say it takes about 2 hours to get the Wheeling from here. On 70.
Okay, you wouldn't go 70 to Wheeling.
Okay.
You'd come down and cross into West Virginia further south.
Okay, down by Huntington. maybe.
About Marietta.
Halfway. Okay, I'll figure it out, and I'll let you know. Because
okay.
If Malloy could be there, I've actually been trying to read his book, but doing what I do, I rarely have time to read anything I really want to read besides the news.
I would love to get a bunch more, not a bunch, but some more people involved, because I do want to be able to invite people and pay their way and have some special guests there.
I sent somebody from Columbus once to go, if I end up being able to go, I'd be more than happy to transport a couple of them down there.
Okay. Well, hopefully some of the Columbus contingent are listening, and maybe we can make it happen.
Yeah.
Jake, thanks a bunch. Steve, thanks a bunch.
Let you go. Thanks, Robin. Love you. Take care.
I love you. Thank you.
Have a good night now. Take care.
See you, Steve. Thank you. And so we come to the end of this More In Monday, and thank you so kindly for the kind words, Jake, and thanks for the conversation, Steve. Jude, with a note, see the vastness, Robin, of your journey as it impacts so many others. Grace manifested in humanity. This deeply honest affirmation is so moving. It's an honor to be here for this exchange. Thank you, Jude. Thank you for all the kindness and compassion that you bring each and every day. Shorty in LA with a reminder, talking about, that one jackass earlier in the clips. Michelle Obama's a man. That's and that's been a filthy trope for eons now. Shorty says, same with Donna Summer. Remember back in the day, asswipes called her a man? Yeah, I do. And good God. Who was it? Harriet Tubman? Was it Harriet Tubman or Sojourner Truth that white men accused of being a cisgender male? God, this is so, it's been going on so long, and it gets so freaking old. So here we are. We are at $167 to go to finish off Randy Radar's Merry Christmas Horn 2-for-1 challenge. So I hope we can knock that out with the overnight crew. Or if you're listening now, maybe after the program's over, it would be wonderful to fulfill that challenge and be fully caught up with November and fully caught up all the way to this day. In December. Thank you. Thank you, Randy Radar, and thank you to everybody who responded. You tripled your money. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you, I want to make sure, see if, just a minute. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve in Georgia, Stan. Your name was invoked earlier. If you didn't hear it already, you'll catch it on the podcast. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House. Please do. Ask them to co-sponsor HR 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. If you've tried them before, try them again. Keep at it until until you get a response. And yes, Jake, your Patreon is still coming through, and I do the thank yous at the end of every month. Thank you so much, Jake. Sorry, I missed your retort, Steve. Please stay safe. The Omicron is here. Do everything you can to use all your first-line defenses, masks, social distancing, 15 to 20 feet. Remember, that's what Paul, remember, that's what Fall from Parts Unknown says. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Carry your hand sanitizer with you everywhere you go. Pocket, purse, backpack, don't care. Don't rely on it being somewhere else or someone else having some for you. And of course, if somebody who looks like hot dog smell comes towards you babbling about how they're not having enough babies in Europe, enough white Christian babies in Europe, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.